I'm so glad that you're here with us today, and it has been such a beautiful time of worship. I, again, want to thank our worship team for leading us into the presence of the Lord. That was really sweet. This morning, as we continue in our service, we get to celebrate a baby dedication. So I'm going to call Landon and Sarah and Rowan and Eli. Rowan, you get to come up on the stage, buddy. This is like highlight of the year. You get to come up on the stage. So I love baby dedications in a church because what it says is that there is new life and there is growth, and it is something to be celebrated. And Sarah and Landon came and said, we want to dedicate baby Eli to the Lord. And what a privilege that is that we have as followers of Jesus to say, when we have a baby, this baby that's a gift from God, I am giving him back to you. I am dedicating him to the Lord. And as a church family, we get to come alongside of them and support them and to say, we're going to walk through this with you. And as best we can, we will continue to support you and encourage you. So Sarah and Landon, we've got extra family. I love it. Got cousins, the whole crew. I just have a verse that I want to share this morning. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. It says, listen, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving to you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Whoop! All right. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. And I know as parents, you love the Lord, your God, and he is your number one. And I know that you are raising your boys in that same love and in that same dedication. And so today we celebrate with you as you dedicate Eli to the Lord. And church, this is not just on them. They do this in community, and we have an opportunity to stand with them and to say, we will pray with you and we will support you as you raise Eli in the Lord. So we're going to move into a time of prayer, and I'm going to ask, hi, Rowan. I'm going to ask church, if you agree to support this family in their raising of their son Eli in the Lord, then I'm going to ask you to stand and extend your hands as we pray for them. Hi. Hi. Can I hold him? All right. We'll see if he stays asleep. Sweet baby. Oh, best part of my job right here. Let's pray, church. Jesus, we thank you for Eli. Lord, we thank you for this precious life that you have brought into this world. Such a bright light. And Jesus, I thank you that Landon and Sarah are choosing today to dedicate Eli to you. Lord, I pray that this little boy, this tiny baby, would grow into a man who loves you with all of his heart, with all of his mind, and with all of his strength. Jesus, I pray that he would grow into the leader that you are developing him to be. Jesus, I pray that he would never turn away from you, but that he would have such a sweet relationship with you. God, we pray for big brother Rowan, that he would lead well. And Jesus, we pray for Landon and Sarah, for all of their family, Lord, that they would pour into this young boy everything that he needs. Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, we just pray a covering, protection over this family. And as a church, God, today we say we will stand with them in support, in love, in prayer, to help Eli grow into the man that you have called him to be. So Jesus, we dedicate him to you and ask all of this in your precious name. Amen. 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 Sorry, I woke him up. And this is for you. Yeah. All done. So sweet. Well, church, as we continue in our service this morning, I just want to take a moment to thank our youth ministry and children's ministry leaders because they regularly, daily, are pouring into the next generation of this church. You already heard from Stephanie today, and she has been faithfully leading our children's ministry for the past 6 months, 7 months, 8 months or so, and now is stepping in to leading our youth ministry and has such a heart. And I just want to thank you, Stephanie, for just continuing to pour into the next generation. And now we are going to hear from Terry Vanek Veenstra, who is our new children's ministry leader, and she is not new to this. She has been doing children's ministry in one form or another for many, many years, and we are so blessed to have her continue to lead the next generation. So Terry, come on up. Church, let's welcome her.
All right. So this morning, I just wanted to say thank you. You have all been wonderful and welcoming, and in that sense, feel very comfortable to come up and share with you today, and I appreciate that. And yes, a sparkly hello right in the front there, my friend Caleb. And he is reminding me that it's their turn to get to go to their space, and I appreciate that. We're buddies. Okay, so kids, what we're going to do today is we still have the younger two groups, but the older kids that would normally be in the group, the older boys that I came and met last week, all you guys, you guys can hang in here today. And if you want something to do, I made some clipboards and stuff. You can do some drawing or take some notes, do whatever. There's some activities. So they were right near the check-in station. If you didn't get one, you can go grab one now and come on back. And then the younger kids, you can come on up and I'm going to pray for you. So come on up. Oh, come on. I need your sparkles. There we go. All right. Thank you, Matthew. All right. I love it. There we go. Whew. Eager beavers, come on. You guys are going to go have some fun. All right. Not that you guys aren't going to have fun. You can have fun too. It's all right. Okay. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for all the children that you have blessed us with, Lord God, and what a gift each and every one of them is. And we thank you for these little ones that are going to go up and have time learning their Bible story today and have fun with those leaders who are just so kind and caring and dedicated to them, Lord God. We pray that you'll bless their time together. Amen. All right, you guys go have fun. Amen. Amen. Go have fun. So, whew. For those of you that don't know, I love all kids and I love getting to know them. Caleb and I spend every day together at preschool, so he feels particularly comfortable to be my guide as I get to learn everybody's name and connect with them and stuff. So, all right. Thank you. Thank you so much. You guys are wonderful. And I baby dedication is my favorite too. So I'm just like, oh, it's a great day. Very honored to get a chance to just share with you and share from the Word. But I'm also going to share a bit about myself and my journey with the Lord. And I feel like it's a great way for us to get to know each other and also to honor the things that God has done in my life. So I always feel privileged to get to share that with you. So don't mind me. This morning, I feel like I need to say in advance, we were saying about nervous. I was praying this morning. I have lots of nervous energy all the time. That's kind of who I am. So anyway, we'll see. I fiddle, I fuss, I do things. And you'll be gracious, I know. So it's all good. I want to just start off by sharing a little bit about, how I came to know the Lord. So one of the things I love about being able to minister is, especially with kids and youth, is that I got introduced to church as a teenager. So I was very unaware that anything with regard to church even existed. It wasn't like even in my kind of peripheral, my extended family didn't have any reference connection to it. I do once remember go to a christening of a cousin of mine, but that was a fairly distant memory for me. And after the fact, my mom talked to me a little bit about the fact that they did have some contact with church when she was growing up, but it wasn't anything anyone ever referenced. So my first contact with the church was that I was a teenager. I was already in junior high, and my neighbor across the street, his cousin moved to town. And she She was a fireball in every sense of the word. She still is to this day. And you just couldn't help but kind of be drawn into just her excitement about anything and everything, or her opinion for that matter. So it was a very interesting thing. And for me, we lived in a small community, and to have a new person in the mix was interesting. And I just really enjoyed her. And right off the bat, because I was good friends already with her cousin, I just felt comfortable to get to know her and whatnot. And we connected. And her family was so on fire for the Lord. And I, to this day, they are just a treasure in my heart. They were so not what I expected people who went to church to be like, which seems funny to say since I didn't know any people that went to church. And so they were just there, and they just loved on us. All the new kids that they met in this new neighborhood that they moved into, they just loved everyone. They welcomed us in. They were so excited to meet us and have us. And her parents had funny things that in hindsight I'm grateful for. So one of their rules at their house was that if we slept over at their house on a Saturday night, if we wanted to ride home, it wasn't till after we'd gone to church with them on Sunday, and then they would take us home. And as a teenager, all I wanted to do was spend all my time with my friends. So I was like, whatever, I do it there, I do it here, it makes no difference to me, so I'm gonna go. And we would do that, and we would hang out, and then I was like, okay, whatever, I can do this. It's fine. It's not like too scary or anything, and it was fine. And then it just built. And then I remember her dad in particular, they would have us for what I know now would be considered a youth Bible study. Back then it was just like hanging out at their house, just like I did most days, except that other kids would come too, and we would eat, although we did that most days too. And I remember I would ask him questions like nothing made sense to me, right? I was like, this is some of the craziest things I have ever heard. And he just would explain them with this patience and just this super chill way of just like, that's okay. That's okay if you don't think that that's true. That's okay if you don't understand it. Just let's talk about it. And he was just, He was a blessing, obviously, to my life. And over the course of time, I also got, met more people in that church who were also really loved and cared about the youth of that church and connected with us. And I remember, I'm not good with dates and times. People will tell you this about me. I'm not good with dates. But I remember at one point, there was three churches in our denomination in our town. And at some point, they got together and said, you know what, none of us are big enough individually. We can't afford to have a youth pastor, but maybe if we work together and we all pay his salary, we can hire a youth pastor. And so they did. And that was just like changed our world as youth. We had this dedicated person, I remember him and his wife so clearly, who just cared about us so much. And not that the people at our church hadn't, they absolutely had, but just this way that they had of embracing us and welcoming us into their home and their family life and doing things for us. Plus, it meant we got to start to have events and things like that that we'd never had before. We're a very small church. So it was really interesting. And I remember very specifically the day we had a Valentine's event. Valentine's always holds a special spot in my heart because we had this speaker and he talked about true love. What is true love, right? And he talked about God's love in a way that I finally was ready to accept that love into my heart and make that decision for myself. And obviously that was a night that changed my life. And I'm so grateful for it because I think there's so much value, and there is a lot of power in tailoring things to where your young people are at, right? They have a lot going on. I see teenagers day in and day out, not only in my home, but at school. My classroom happens to be on the same floor as a lot of the high schoolers. And every time I see them, I just think back to when I was in that time of my life, and I pray for them because it's not an easy time. And I think their time in history is more challenging than my time. Frankly, being a teenager in the 80s was not that hard. And now you all know how old I am, so that's fine. But it really wasn't. And in comparison, I think it really wasn't. And I love these teenagers. They go through a lot. And I'm so grateful that Stephanie has a passion for that. I always feel like I just stick my foot in my mouth when I talk to teenagers. They, you know, not cool. I'm not cool, but that's okay. So one of the great things that I was blessed with once we got a youth pastor was as we started to do these events and we got more connected with camps because of him and different things and stuff was that he started to encourage in me giftings that I had always had, but I didn't know how to use them or where to use them. And so he would encourage me to participate at a leadership level on events we would put on and things like that. And I'm very type A, so I was happy to organize events and get busy doing stuff and whatnot and that kind of thing. And I loved it. And it gave me a purpose and a focus that, you know, as I was still learning about God and obviously growing and developing, although I'm pretty sure I think I thought I knew quite a bit at that point because I was a teenager. So I was very confident, right? I was like, someone is encouraging me and I can have all this confidence and I can move forward and it's great. And I was doing all these wonderful things for the Lord and I was so excited. And I was very grateful for him. And I remember at the time just so happy to have that opportunity. And I remember him giving me this verse back then, a very familiar verse to most, I'm sure. 1 Timothy 4:12, where it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And I just treasured that verse. I treasured it. I remember he gave it to me just as I was headed to counsel at camp for a whole summer, and I treasured that verse, and I read it, and I would have my quiet time with God, and I would just feel like, yes, God, that's what I want. I want to do that. I had read about Paul and Timothy in the Bible, and I knew that like that was such a exhortation of like, you can do this, right? You can do this, and you can do these things. And I wanted to be like that. And when I was in that environment, in my home, in my home church, in my hometown, with people that were encouraging me and supporting me, I really felt like I could. I felt like I was, you know, good in my walk with God. I was excited and things were going well. And I was so excited about it that I wanted to go to Bible college. So I remember announcing those plans. And I remember being very nervous about it in some respects. And I lived with my mom. My parents were divorced, and I lived with my mom. And she was very supportive of my journey. By this time, she also had come to the Lord, and we were walking, following God together, and it was very exciting, and it was a wonderful time for us. And so she was very excited. But I knew that my dad was going to be the one paying the bill, and I needed to tell him. And at this point, he had not, it would be a long time still before he came to the Lord. And so I was really nervous about it. And I said, you know, this is what I want to do. And I shared. And I think the fact that it cost a lot less in university was really what won over the day in that time. But I remember getting off the phone and being really surprised that he had been like, okay, fine, sure. And I remember thinking, okay, this must be what I'm supposed to do, because that was like a real answer to prayer. And I was like, okay, this is good. And I went off to Bible college, and I was like, oh, okay. Not everybody came here with the same goals or focus that I did. And I was disillusioned so quickly, and I didn't know what to do with that. And I was surrounded with people, some people who were there exactly the same reason I was. And they were just wanting that connection and wanting to do something for God and wanting to have that impact. But then there was, I remember, a room of girls down the hall from me who had come together. And I wasn't sure why they were there, really. I was like, you don't really seem to love Jesus. And I was like, did your parents make you come? Like, what's kind of the deal? And then there was some girls across the hall from me who came because that Bible college had a program where they taught early childhood education. And so they'd come for their career goals, you know, and that kind of thing. So I just got to know them, you know, right? And yeah, some of them had actually been forced to go there, like not given a choice. And I thought, why wouldn't you want to be here? But in hindsight, right, everyone has their own path. And it was very interesting to me. And at that point in my life, I really started to struggle with the fact that I thought I needed to be all the things that I saw in scripture, that I saw, you know, people were saying to be all these things, right? Pastor Lizzie talked about that last week, how so often we take the verses out of Corinthians and, you know, we're told, right? Be loving, be patient, be kind, be long-suffering. I'm not long-suffering. I'm still not long-suffering. And yeah, I pray for the Spirit to help me with that all the time. That's not my... And I really struggled. And for several years, my mom, she's so wonderful and she's such a important person in my life, but she was still at home in this church that was loving and supportive and kind, but only a certain way. They, you know, there was a limit to what I had learned about the fullness of Christ in that church. And so I would kind of share, you know, what I was going through, but she wasn't experiencing what I was experiencing. And you know, so years went on and I continued to struggle. I continued to feel like a failure because I didn't really know why I couldn't measure up to all these things. I wanted to do well and all these things, and I would work towards them and I would really strive towards them and I would commit myself, and yet I would just fall short constantly. And I really felt like a failure at a lot of the things that I wanted to do for Christ. I'm just going to move ahead here on my screen. So anyway, I'll fast forward a little bit to a future part of my life. And I am an early childhood educator now, and have been for a long time now. Anyway, I was working in a childcare center at a church that didn't really have anything to do with the church. It just happened to be in a church. It wasn't necessarily... a representation of the church. And I got a phone call from a different church that said, hey, you know, we need some help. We're going through a transition. Our director isn't able to fulfill their job duties. You know, could you, and I had a coworker as well, that they asked the two of us to kind of come and coach them through their transition, give advice on what needed to be done and how would we handle this and whatnot. And so purely a work thing, you know, they just reached out to us. They just knew we worked at another church and so felt comfortable to do that. So we did, and we went and we did the business of that. And after a few months, it became really evident that their director wasn't going to be able to ever come back to their role, and there would be a job opening, and they offered me the job. And I thought, I really want this job. I was really struggling with a lot of things in my life, and I really did want this job, but I thought, I can't go work for a church and not kind of lay my cards on the table, because I just felt like I wasn't the Christian that I wanted to be, and I didn't know how to change it, and I didn't know what people would think about that. And so I didn't want to take this position without doing that. And so we had a conversation, and I said, well, look, I don't know if you know this and this and this about me. I'd love to work here, but basically here's all my flaws as a Christian, and here's all the things I'm struggling with. And sorry, I get kind of emotional. And I remember he just said to me, well, you don't know anything about us. And you don't have to come to this church to have this job, but you might want to come and check it out and just see. I didn't think I was going to do that. And so I did. I really didn't have any, heart connection to the church that I was currently attending. I just felt absolutely vacant every time I went there. And so I was like, I'll give it a shot, right? Plus, they were this weird thing called Foursquare that I had never heard of, and I'm pretty sure I wanted to make sure I wasn't working for a cult. So I was like, I should maybe know before I accept the job too. So I went that Sunday, and I just had never, ever felt so much peace in my whole life. I think, I don't know that I ever will, because I won't be in that same circumstance again. Just of being this, there was just this spiritual vacuum in my life. And I loved God, and I had purpose to try to serve God with all my heart and all my choices, everything I'd done. And I just felt like I'm failing and I'm just empty, but I know that God is good. So what is happening in my life? And I went to this church and I encountered the Holy Spirit, which from my church upbringing, that was a complete revelation to me. That was not something that I had heard of, that I knew of. It changed my life. And I felt very much like this verse in Acts where Paul goes to Ephesus and he comes across some of the believers there, right? And he says to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answer, no, we've not ever heard that there was a Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh, that's me. That's me. And this was just, in all fairness, I had heard of the book of Acts. We didn't really crack it in my last church. So this was kind of new to me. And they talked to Paul about, no, like they had been a part of John's baptism and, you know, they had been told that they should repent, but they had never had that heart connection. And, you know, Paul talks to them about, okay, well, actually, right, the whole point of what John was talking about is that you need to be baptized and follow Jesus. And so he does that with them. And then it says, and when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. And I was like, oh, is this is it? This is what I've been missing. I didn't know that. And so I was so touched last week when Pastor Liz was preaching, because that just resonates so deep with me. I had such a long period in my walk that I just didn't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And it just absolutely transformed my life. And I'm so grateful there were people at this new church that spent countless hours with me, patiently praying over me, talking it through with me, because not only had I not been taught about it, but we had not been taught about it in a way that made it feel taboo. Like, you don't talk about it. Like, yeah, it's in the Bible, but that was in the past, and we just kind of skip over that, and that's what we do. And I was afraid. I'm a people pleaser. I like to, you know, make sure I'm doing the right stuff. And they were like so gracious, so patient with me. And we spent hours on Sunday evenings in our prayer time with them laying hands on me and me so badly wanting to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just have that fullness. And I remember, of course, I remember very well the day that came. And I don't know, sometimes it's hard to remember, like when I was writing this out, all those things came back to me, but day to day, I don't remember ever not having my heavenly language. It's how I get through every day. And it's such a treasure to me. Anyway, that was a tremendous blessing in my life. And I felt at that point, like God was calling me into new and fresh things. And it was so exciting. And, you know, I had this new power and this new boldness to share with people about the God who loved me and saved me and just wanted me to succeed and be all that I could be in the gifts that he had gifted me. And I was so thrilled to be encouraged at every turn to walk those out, to live those out. I was incredibly blessed to be surrounded by amazing women of God who had served like this for years and years, decades, and were willing to impart their wisdom and their encouragement to me as I started off in that journey. And I went back to Bible college for a little bit. I went to Pacific Life to round out my understanding of the Lord and all the spiritual gifts that were available to me and how the Holy Spirit would work and move in my life so that I could have a proper, fuller understanding of that to share as I went forward and taught and worked with people. And it's been my great pleasure to try to spend the rest of my journey sharing and relating to others. There's been a lot of bumps in the road. It's not like life is never challenging. I feel like the Lord, as He guides me through each of those steps of my life, it gives me something that then helps me connect with others who likewise are struggling through things. I've had many things in my life that I have then been able to relate with others who are also struggling through really tough things. And I always see, okay, Lord, right? Sometimes it's really hard to say that God is good all the time when you're in the thick of it. And yet every time I've walked through one of those circumstances, God has put a family, a friend, another woman, someone in my path where He said, yeah, share with them how I brought you through this, right? And then to me, then it is worthwhile. It's not easy in the moment, but then it is worthwhile. And I'm so grateful that the Lord brought me to Sunshine Hills. That's our church where I was for so many years working and serving and being taught well and being taught in fullness and in truth. And I'm very grateful. And so I love to spend time, I guess, just to tie it in with, you know, what I do now. I love to spend time with kids, youth, families, because I love to make those connections. And as a person that was never taught the stories of the Bible and stuff as a child, I love to see their delight and their connection to how it's one big story that God is working out. And I love that. So thank you. Thank you for letting me share. And I look forward to getting to know more of you. I know I think someone said to me this week, oh, I know you. You were Terry. You were up there. And I was like, yes, but I want to know you guys too. I know that takes more time. So worship team, if you want to come on up. And these girls are great. I can't sing to save my bacon, so I just love it. Not one of the gifts I got.